Our next question, what is the biggest single issue facing Hawaii that you can have an impact on as a member of Congress? We start with Ed Case.
The job of a member of Congress as to Hawaii is really to make sure that the federal government continues to work for Hawaii. And that is a basic challenge. Your job as a member of Congress has three components. Number one, national leadership. We've talked here already about national leadership. That's a critical part of your job. You're one national leader of many, but you're still that national leader. Number two, you need to work with your delegation and with yourself and with your staff to make sure that Hawaii is getting its fair share in a way that works for Hawaii. Number three is to help individual constituents with their issues. Now, back to number two, which is the question. The critical point here is not just federal money coming into Hawaii, although that's important. It's to make sure that that federal money comes into Hawaii in a way that works for Hawaii. Because oftentimes you get Washington bureaucrats sitting in marble buildings on the mall, and they're well-intentioned, but they don't know Hawaii. We're different. We're very, very different. And they put together these programs that don't work. Those have to work.
Doug Chin?
I can appreciate Ed's response, and I'm sure it's correct. I think that the question might be asking us more just what's our blue sky vision? Like, what are we thinking about if there's one thing that we could be able to do? And so for me, the one thing that I hear from people for the last 7 months and just even in my own life is just how much we need to make Hawaii a more affordable place for our next generation. It will break my heart if my children are not able to come back to Hawaii because they are saying that they can't afford to live here. And so to me, I can see that the single issue that would be critical for Hawaii is doing what we can to be able to make Hawaii more affordable. And so there's two things that we could be able to do. One is when it comes to using the federal government to be able to make sure that we're using our funds smartly so that we can be able to have affordable housing. I think the other thing comes in regards to student loans and making sure that our public schools and universities are more affordable, either by having a reduced tuition or a free tuition. Those are ways that we can be able to help Hawaii's people.
Thank you. Beth Fukumoto.
I recently talked to probably two or three people just this week who are making a decision right now between whether or not they can continue to live in Hawaii or whether or not they want to have kids. They think that they're mutually exclusive because that's how expensive it's gotten to live here. People feel like if they don't have help, if they have high student loans, if they don't have parents to rely on or parents that are going to pass down some money, they can't afford to have their family own a home and continue to stay here in Hawaii. So I think, as Doug mentioned, I do think that's why I've talked so much about affordability in this race. It is the key to making the next generation be able to stay here. The biggest part of that is housing. If we solve the housing crisis, we solve a lot. And that's being able to focus really closely on federal grants. Again, and you're going to hear me say it over and over again, we need to focus on federal grants. We need to bring in more federal money. And we have to be smart about the way we do it. The federal government has recently just recalculated a few things so that Hawaii can't get the money that it needs anymore. We need somebody that knows that. We need somebody that can actually be there and understand the policies so we can fix
them. Thank you. Kaniela Ng.
Thank you. I think that our delegation is actually doing a good job, and they know what grants are out there. So I'm not going to try to throw them under the bus. But what I will say is these market-based, means-tested solutions that we've been relying on, the same institutions that created our problem, luxury developers, to solve them, is not going to work. And we need a new, bold idea for housing, not these affordable housing policies that are ghostwritten by luxury developers like Howard Hughes. Housing for all. If you look at Singapore, it's half the size of Oahu, but they have 5.6 million people. And on average, people get brand new three-bedroom units for just 23% of their income. I pay 40% of my income to rent a one-bedroom 50-year-old unit downtown and another one in Kihei. So it's crazy. And it's a political choice. It happens when luxury developers buy out our politicians. And again, that's why I'm the only candidate not taking lobbyists or corporate money, so I can speak this freely and actually point out what's causing the problems and have real solutions.
Thank you. Ernie Martin.
You know, I serve at the local level, so I guess, I have a good sense, I think, of what people see as a critical need. You know, definitely. And this is not unique to Hawaii. Affordable housing and homelessness. It's a very challenging issue. you know, it's good and fine to say we're going to identify additional federal funds, additional resources, but I've talked about this before. You know, it's difficult to ask for additional resources if you cannot spend what you have, whether it's federal, state, or county. It really doesn't matter. You know, I talked about this with respect to community development block grants. I mean, that's one of the readily identifiable sources for both of these particular issues. But last year, the county forfeited over $5 million back to the federal government. So how can you make the argument that we need additional federal funds when you cannot efficiently spend what you already have? You know, we got to spend what we already have and then leverage that by working not just with federal funds, but private sector funds as well. You know, and then we can make it some headways as to both issues.
Thank you. Next question. Hawaii has a great track record of doing important things badly. Rail, super ferry, 30-meter telescope, convention center. How will you help improve Hawaii's track record? Doug Chin.
Right. I actually think this, along with Ed kind of describing what's the job description for what a member of Congress does, I truly believe that something else that a member of Congress ends up doing is it really is all about being able to work with the other levels of government and to provide some sort of leadership in that capacity. So whether it's rail, whether it's 30-meter telescope, whether it's any of these controversial subjects, what I've seen at every one of those projects that I've been involved in, either at the city or the state level, is that it requires being able to work with all of the different people in the congressional delegation, the people in state government, and city officials. And so what I would suggest is that I have that kind of experience to be able to work with people, and I also have a reputation of being able to work well and be able to collaborate to be able to come up with solutions in those areas. I think there are other reasons why these projects are difficult, but I also know that the one thing it takes is being able to have those interpersonal skills to make that happen.
Thank you. Beth Fukumoto?
Sure. Yeah, I think this is a good reason why it is hard to be somebody that's only always fighting and only always telling everybody else that they're wrong. It's incredibly important to be able to work with all levels of government. That's something that I've always been able to do, even when it was an uphill battle for me. Even when I was new at the legislature, I was able to get things done because I do have that ability to work with everyone just to make sure that we do the things that we need to do. I'll go back to speaking of things that we do badly. Ernie is absolutely correct. We've given back a lot of federal funding that we should not have had to give back. And I do think that it is our congressperson's job to check and make sure that we're doing things correctly, make sure that the grants are being written in a way that we can use them. If we're going to get federal funding, we have to make sure that we're getting it for the right things, that we have good plans, that we have good projects to use it on. And that's not what's been happening. We haven't had a clear vision for housing in Hawaii, for the types of housing we need. We've had so much trouble passing things to try to stop out-of-state developers from continuing to develop and take us for granted.
Thank you. Kaniela Ng.
I do think it's important to reach across different departments, different levels of government. In my time in office since 2012, I was first elected at 23 years old. I was able to rise up to majority policy leader where we set statewide priorities. We got more funding for our district than any district in the state for our schools and more for our particular district since statehood. You know, I do know how to work with folks, especially on the rank and file, but also in a way that pushes the boundaries and what's possible and showing people what's possible. In the reason why I think, I mean, we all can say that we can be great collaborators, but are we really better than Maisie or Brian or Tulsi? You know, the reason why people are afraid to actually speak truth when it comes to accountability with rail is because of some of the donors. Because like was mentioned earlier, we're afraid that a super PAC like Pacific Resource Partnership is going to spend $10 billion in our next race. That's why it's so important to elect people who are free and unmoored from those corporate donors completely.
Thank you. We go to Ernie Martin.
Thank you. You know what? I was hoping to avoid the rail question because I probably get more tracks on my back than we do on the rail system itself. So, but let me just use that as a classic example. You know, you're right. That's an example of a project that probably was prematurely contemplated. I think those who made the key decisions very early on didn't do the due diligence necessary, but it was a political decision. But going forward, it is what it is. I think it's critical that we recognize where the problems are. You know, I think Kaniela was right in terms of standing up to even those who are politically powerful. I think many of you may recall it wasn't the mayor who came forward and said that perhaps we should go in a different direction and ask for the resignation of the chairman of the board as well as the executive director of HART. It was me, and it was a very difficult decision. You know, it's not a decision that's lightly contemplated, but when things are going bad, we need to move in a different direction. And I think with respect to any public works project, that type of courage and preservation needs to occur.
Thank you. Ed Case?
Some of my colleagues in Congress, and not from Hawaii, believed that their job was to go to Washington and hang in Washington and do national legislation. And if somebody from the state wanted to come and tell them what a problem was, they'd deal with that. That has never been my approach, nor was it the delegation's approach overall. Your job is to go back out to your state and reach out to everybody to figure out exactly what is needed, exactly what the issues are, exactly how to take this federal government with its programs and its funding and adapt it to working in Hawaii. As one example, when I was in Congress, I served on the House Education Committee. I surveyed 171 public schools in my district, all of them, that's 171, and said, what are your issues? What are your concerns? These are federal programs that can help. Can we make a deal here where you apply for the grant, and then I'll support you on the grant? That worked wonders. I sent people to the neighborhood boards for the same reason, listen to the neighborhood boards.
Thank you. We go to the next question. As we've heard this evening, there's a lot of agreement among you on a number of issues. How would you differentiate yourself from your colleagues? Begin with Beth Fukumoto.
Well, what a tough question to be first on. I think for me, it's that I have a track record in the legislature of fighting for things, regardless of whether or not they're popular. I've had to do this. I've had to do different things in the legislature. I've had to fight for money for my district, and it was always uphill. I had to do it without a lot of big donors. I didn't have any of that establishment backing, but I was able to get things done because I was able to work with everyone. I think that's something that I have a specific record of doing, that I specifically have been able to show courage in making sure that that happens, making sure that I pick fights that might not be popular, but that need to be taken on. I think sometimes it's important to pick fights with the right people to change the way Hawaii is run. We've been run by the establishment for way too long, and I'm one of the people that has consistently taken them on in the legislature and been successful in certain ways. And that's something that I would want to bring to Congress, something that I think I can uniquely bring to Congress.
Thank you. Kaniela Ng.
You know, when we agree on a lot of issues, especially when it comes to restoring the pre-Trump status quo, but that wasn't good enough for most of us. You know, most of my classmates were struggling. I was struggling. I was paying $2,000 for childcare, $700 a month for student loans. I'm not quite on track for home ownership. Most of my generation, we're not set up to succeed. So we need to do more than just fight Trump. I'm the only candidate who's really pushing the issues, because being progressive isn't just checking these boxes of a Democratic Party. It's having those uncomfortable conversations about what that next set of boxes will be. So student debt cancellation, tuition-free college and trade schools, a Green New Deal, housing for all, and ending the systemic corruption that exists in our politics to ban all corporate PAC money. And frankly, when you speak against those big donors in our state, they'll come after you, but you just got to keep going. And that's what we're doing. And, you know, that's really the money is at the root of all the problems. And if I want to get one thing clear tonight, it's that.
Thank you. Ernie Martin.
Thank you. You know, I think we all agree on most of the issues. It's a matter of how we're going to execute when we have the opportunity to serve. I think that's the difference. I think the question you asked is actually a closing statement type of question, what differentiates us from one another. You know, it's who we are as individuals, you know, and that's I think, the decision that the voters will contemplate. You know, for myself, I've been fortunate. I've been in very highly influential positions. It's not a dream of mine to serve in Congress. You know what I enjoy? I enjoy helping people. You know, I came from public housing. I mean, Kaniala picked pineapples. Guess what? I cut grass. That was my first job in the city, cutting grass, you know, and I was happy to do it, man. I enjoyed it, you know, but I was never satisfied. I mean, people opened doors for me. Eventually, I rose to where, you know, I became director of the very department that gave me my first job. And here I get elected to the city council, I mean, against all odds. And within 6 months, I become the chairman of the Honolulu City Council. Who would have thought that? And then to serve for over 6 years, longer than any of my predecessors. You know, now it's my turn to give back.
Thank you. Ed Case?
Well, I mean, an obvious differentiator for me is just that I've been there and done that, and could go back easily and hit the ground running and start working on national issues as well as working with the congressional delegation on the issues that are really critical to Hawaii that we've already talked about here today, 7 years on Capitol Hill. You know, it takes you a while to get up to speed there. So nobody's going to tell you that because somebody doesn't come back after 3 months and go and say, well, I'm really lost. That's just not what somebody says when you go home. But that's a clear differentiator. I think the other thing that definitely differentiates me is that I've had 30 years out there in the real world beyond politics, besides a very, very interesting political career. I've worked as a lawyer. I've managed the businesses, law firms. I've worked at Outrigger Hotels Hawaii for the last 5 years, where I have been directly responsible for 4,000 jobs and an industry that has 200,000 plus jobs in Hawaii. And I know what happens when federal laws hit the business community the wrong way. And I think that I can make sure that they work for that community.
Thank you. Doug Chin?
I think this race in 2018 isn't really about labels such as who's more progressive, who's more moderate, or who really falls into those categories. I actually see it as more of a stark issue of what is right and wrong. In other words, when we are looking at 2018, what we are seeing is a time where we're looking at our values such as tolerance and diversity that are being threatened and could potentially be fading away into the past. And we're making decisions between what could be happening that could be whether or not we're going to be able to stand up to the current administration that we have. Whoever gets elected to this job will be elected for 2 years. And it's so important that we have someone who's not only willing to be able to work across party lines and to be able to get things done, but also someone who's going to be able to stand up for Hawaii's values when Hawaii's democracy or just basic issues that are important to human rights are at stake. And that's what I think differentiates me, is that I'm prepared to do that.
Thank you. At this time, we're going to offer our candidates an opportunity to either ask each other questions or to make a comment or rebuttal at this time. We'll give you a minute and a half each. We'll start with Kaniela Ng.
Okay, yeah. First, I just wanted to mention that the reason why I've been endorsed by 350 Action and Bill McKibben, one of the top climate scientists across the nation, is because our climate plan makes sense. The top scientists are saying that we can do it within 10 years. Anybody telling you otherwise is probably because of pressures from donors. Secondly, I do want to ask a question. I've been fighting this like moneyed in politics system for quite a while, but one thing that is really disturbing to me. Like, I have a lot of respect for everyone on this panel, but Mr. Case, you got paid $1.6 million by a mainland hotel while you lobbied for them in just 18 months, and you're spending $150,000 of that money to what it seems like to try to buy this race. And, from my perspective, lobbying, we should be fighting these corporate lobbyists, especially at a time where hotel profits are at a record high, but wages are stuck low for the workers. And people are just yelling out one job is not enough. And, you know, by all means, like if you want to work to shift even more power to the corporate bosses, that's your choice. But we cannot be sending lobbyists to Congress. Can you explain that record and all that money you took from them?
Yeah, Kaniela, I got your attack email right before, so I saw where you're going on this. First of all, your facts are wrong. I didn't make that kind of money in 18 months. No, you can check the financial disclosures, Kaniela. I'm telling you to check your facts.
Okay. Well, I hope there's a fact check after this.
Please, let me continue. First of all, that's number one. Number two, yes, I was paid a lot of money. And I have earned a lot of money over the last couple of years, fulfilling major responsibilities for the largest employer in our state. So, I mean, in other words, I believe that I have had value to the company and to the industry in what I was paid. Now, I also paid hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of taxes, which I'm happy to do. Let me tell you something straight out, Kaniella. I just completely resent your entire line of questioning here, because what you are basically saying is that somebody that worked hard all of his life and was successful, including financially successful, is somehow disqualified from serving in Congress, because that's the point that you're trying to make here. And I resent that, you know. Let's state the obvious here. The obvious is that if I'm paid so darn well at Outrigger and have such a great job, then why am I leaving that great job and that great financial return to go back to Congress? Obviously, I feel that there's a higher calling here, number one. Number two, in terms of lobbying, I have strictly followed the law. Anytime I talk to a lobbyist, that's lobbying on behalf of, if I talk to you about hotel stuff, I'm lobbying. I'm obviously going to register as a lobbyist.
Thank you. Ernie Martin.
Thank you. You know, actually, I was going to ask a question of Donna Kim, but I didn't know you could call in sick. What's up with that, man? I mean, you're going to elect somebody to Washington, D.C. to serve in Congress. You better not have a sick day, right? I mean, I was kind of surprised. I mean, here I am missing dinner with my family. If those of you who know me personally, and some of you know that I do not take any campaign or political events on a Sunday. I usually reserve my Sunday for my family because it's very important to me. I come from a family of nine. You know, we all very close. I mean, we're not all fortunate to have been educated to the level that I have, but I'm proud of all of them. You know, and they're proud of me. I mean, you should see them. Every time they see me on TV, they got to text me, oh, I saw you on TV. I says, really, what did I say? You know? Because, you know, those of us who've been in the public eye, I mean, we'll talk for 90 seconds and we'll get 15 seconds of TV time. And oftentimes, it's not what the focus of the issue is, right? It's more of the soundbite. But so I'm going to ask a question of Kaniella. And I'm going to ask him an easy question because, you know, I see him getting a little hostile over here, so I'm going to have him relax. But it's the same question I asked Beth at the last forum. So I'm going to ask you, I mean, in your time in serving at a legislature, if you had to pick one single legislative initiative that you feel was your most significant accomplishment, what was it and why?
Well, thank you.
That's why I'm the chair of the council. You know, this is what I do. Calm them down.
We can say that we can work with people, but this is how you show it instead. Show word and tell. But same-day voter registration took 2 years to pass. In solidly blue or solidly red states, major voting reforms don't usually happen because you don't want to alter your voting bases. I wrote and passed it. It was so much work working with Common Cause, League of Women Voters. For the first year, all polling places, you'll be able to register and vote on the same day, which would greatly increase turnout for the youth. So I'm really proud of that. It's going to happen. If you haven't voted before, come out and vote. Just to respond, I know Mr. K said that my point was something. No, my point is if you're making 20 times more than the average person makes within a year, aren't you going to be a little bit beholden to the people that gave you that money? Like, that's how I am, right? That's what most of us are. If your boss were to ask you for a favor and like you're not going to get that money if you don't, you're probably going to listen to them. The only people I rely on are my donors, and it's no corporations, no lobbyists, average under $30.
Thank you.
From working people.
Beth Fukumoto.
Yeah, I think I would start by just sort of rebutting. I think that we are. There are stark differences between right and wrong. I think every single one of us up here believes that. Every single one of us wants to go up there and fight Donald Trump. But I think that there's also this part of legislating that you learn when you're in the legislature, when you're in that body, that you have to work on sometimes really minuscule issues. It can't just be these big things. It's going to be detailed stuff sometimes, and you need to have this forward vision for how you're going to legislate. I would say that the same thing is true with what Kaniella is talking about the goals that he has, but you need to know how to move them forward. But my question actually is for Ed. Ed, in 2002, I actually voted for you for the first time I could vote, and I voted for you because you talked so much about change and the need for a new generation and the need for leadership. And I'm sure you see some of what I say and what you said, because I was actually watching that and learning from it. But, you know, and now you're talking so much about experience and how that's critical for being a part of Congress. And so I guess my question to you is, do you believe that you were more experienced than Senator Akaka when you ran against him?
We had a different experience set. Senator Akaka and I had a different experience set. So, no, I don't believe that I was more or less experienced. I just had a different mix of experience than him.
Thank you.
Thank you. Doug Chin?
Well, Ed, I have a question for you too, but I'll make a comment, but you're going to be the one who ends up getting to respond at the end anyway. So it's just this. I mean, I guess one of the things that I think it's not that you made $1.6 million. I think it's that your financial disclosure says that you made $800,000, which is actually more than the rest of us combined based on our financial disclosures. But I think the one thing that you can end up responding to or talking about is this, and it's just, this is one of the things that always comes up when you know, you're campaigning for office, which is back in 2005, you'd actually voted, you were one of 15 Democrats that voted to extend the capital gains tax, and you actually said during that time that this is something that's going to favor upper incomes. And so that was then. Now we're here in 2018. Hawaii has the number 8 highest income disparity in the nation, which means that it's the highest wage gap between the richest people and the poorest people. So why was it that you made that decision? What was happening that caused you to do that?
Well, I thought that there was some degree of capital gains that should continue to be recognized. However, in the same breath, I voted against virtually all of the Bush tax cuts. I voted against virtually all of the Republican attempts to abolish the estate tax. I was, this came up in the 2012 campaign, and my opponent then tried to make a statement there that was fact-checked and was found to be inaccurate. So the fact is that the implication you're trying to draw here is incorrect. I actually have, by and large, voted to maintain a progressive tax system that taxes people that make a lot like me far more than others.
Thank you. We have used up all of our time. You now have 30 seconds for a closing statement. We start with Ernie Martin.
Well, thank you all for being here this evening. I'm sure that you had other matters to attend to that was far more interesting than hearing us speak. I think this is about our 8th or 9th forum already that we've done. You know, I'm just going to use my closing statement to just thank my family for their sacrifices for allowing me to run for this particular seat itself. You know, for guys like us, it's not much of a sacrifice. The sacrifice is really on the family. You know, they're the ones who really give up of their time and, unfortunately, their own right to privacy in campaigning. This sign was still up. What's up, man?
Thank you.
But thank you, everybody. Good evening.
Yes, so a lot of us talked about you know, how we're best fit for the job, how Trump is bad, how we are good. But really, these campaigns need to be more about just any how awesome any individual candidate is. It's about building movements. Our campaign, most of the volunteers out of the hundreds have never been involved in a political campaign before, because we're talking about issues that actually matter to folks. Rent control, housing for all, debt, student debt cancellation, real climate action that would actually stop sea level rise in Hawaii. And we need to be pushing this as much as possible, because that's really the only way change ever happens.
Thank you. Beth Fukumoto.
Thank you. I also want to thank my family, who all worked very hard today out in the sun. But I think I want to say that I really do believe that we can do better here in Hawaii. I think that we can fix everything that we feel is wrong. I think that we can make sure that people have a place to live. I think we can make sure that people don't have to sit in traffic for hours and hours. I think we can make sure that our schools are air conditioned and our kids are well educated. We can do all those things, but we have to take a different approach. We have to start looking at things differently. Thank you so much, and thanks for your consideration.
Thank you. Doug Chin?
I have great respect and aloha for all of the candidates in this race. They don't even know that, but it's really true. I just think that Ed, Donna, and Ernie, with all respect, would be great members of Congress in a different year, a non-typical, non-Trump year. I think by the same token that Beth and Kaniela would be great members of Congress in some future year if they had some more life experience and just some more things that happened for them. I think I'm the right person for 2018. In Trump's America to be able to make a difference.
Thank you. Ed Case?
I'm going to use my 30 seconds to ask Doug the question that I wanted to ask. Yes or no question, Doug. On July 2nd in our debate, you asked this question. Will you join me in agreeing to run a positive campaign and to not attack other CD Democrats in this race? Can you make that pledge today?
Yes, I did, and I have been positive.
Do you pledge not to attack in the remainder of the campaign?
I'm not attacking. I'm just asking you questions about the facts that are in your record.
Okay, so yes.
So that's not. I feel very comfortable with the fact that I've been very positive, and I'm sorry that you're using your time to talk about this.
Thank you. We want to thank our candidates for participating in this forum. We wish you all the best of luck in the upcoming primary election, August 11th. Again, we'd like to thank the candidates and, of course, our wonderful studio audience. Give yourselves a big hand. And you're tuned to listener-supported Hawaii Public Radio, KHPR Honolulu, KKUA Wailuku, KANO Hilo, KHPH Kailua Kona, and KIPL Lihue. We now go to The Real Deal with Seth Marko.